NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fisher Investments. Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Public radio listeners are engaged, curious, and community-minded. Your business can unleash the potential of our listeners by sponsoring Kansas Public Radio. Learn how at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 73 degrees in Topeka, 67 in Lawrence, 75 in Manhattan. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Community Village Lawrence, a local volunteer-based nonprofit dedicated to supporting affordable in-home aging for adults, helping neighbors live independently as long as possible. Details at communityvillagelawrence.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. Then we'll find out why the Department of Commerce is working on rules to keep Chinese-made vehicles from spying on Americans. That's even though very few cars made in China are currently sold in the U.S. We will also learn how a children's book is designed to help kids deal with an unthinkable loss. A conversation with author Scott Emmons and illustrator Stacy Lamb. Sorry about that, Stacy. Stacy Lamb. They are the creators of a book called Hope and the Winds of Grief, coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas Libraries, a state, regional, and federal depository providing the resources and partnerships necessary for both research and academic success. More at lib.ku.edu.
It is Magical Monday tonight on KPR's Evening Classical with Destiny at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. on your KPR One stations. Tonight, a magic flute, a magic pot, a mystic planet. We'll even hear from Rip Van Winkle. That's all coming up on your KPR One stations following All Things Considered. If you are joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned for This American Life at 7 o'clock. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the lower 50s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow morning, but clearing through the afternoon.
Support.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. Morning Edition will be coming your way. Jay Schaefer holding down the local news duties.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Book Festival, September 28th at Washburn University in Topeka, featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, exhibitor tents, and kids' activities. Open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com.
News headlines are up next. It is 67 degrees in Lawrence, 65 in Chanute. It's 6:30.
1 point, up about 0.1%. The NASDAQ up 25 points. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. New reporting by Politico suggests Republican U.S. Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas may have improperly spent $4,500 in taxpayer money on travel. Since 2021, Marshall has reportedly spent public funds on 8 trips to Sarasota, Florida, where 2 of his adult children live. He also has a vacation home there. A spokesperson says Marshall is on committees that require trips around the country. They say the travel was for official Senate business. But Politico reporter Daniel Lipman told KCUR's Up to Date that Marshall's staff did not provide evidence of what he did do there.
And so I think we readers and listeners just have to kind of make up their own judgment about these trips.
If Marshall did use public funds for personal travel, it would be a violation of Senate rules. An elementary school in South Wichita was locked down this morning after a man allegedly shot his wife in the chest while they were dropping off children. Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter says a deputy who was in the area arrived at Cessna Elementary School and saw a man holding a gun to his wife's head. The deputy then shot the man. Both the man and his wife are in critical condition. Easter says some children were outside the school at the time, but no students or school employees were hurt.
Law enforcement showed up within 2 minutes. of the shooting coming out, and it never got into the school itself, where the kids were in danger.
Parents were allowed to pick up students about an hour after the shooting. Wichita district leaders say additional counselors were dispatched to the school. Machinists union workers at Textron Aviation began their strike today after voting down a contract offer over the weekend. Many workers on the picket line say they were not satisfied with the company's offers dealing with health insurance and time off. No date has been set for the company and union to resume contract negotiations. Nearly 5,000 employees are represented by the union at Textron Aviation, one of Wichita's largest employers. Workers say they will continue to strike at the company's east and west campuses until a new contract is approved. The forecast tonight, mostly cloudy skies through the evening, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the lower 50s. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes
from Dominoski. Thank you so much, Camila.
Thanks, Elsa. You're listening to All Things Considered.
And you're listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lorson. Hundreds of Kansans die each year by suicide. Many of them leave behind a child or a grandchild or a brother, a sister, or friends to mourn that loss. Scott Emmons of Kansas City and Stacy Lamb of Lawrence are the creators of a new children's book, Hope and the Winds of Grief, a story of healing after losing a loved one to suicide. They spoke with KPR's Kay McIntyre about their book, which features a little bird named Ori, who has lost a brother to suicide.
You don't shy away. It was so great because I watched her and her mom. I sat back and they talked about the book and the emotions. And you could almost see in the girl's face a sense of relief a little bit that what she was feeling wasn't, you know, she wasn't alone.
Stacy Lamb and Scott Emmons are the creators of Hope and the Winds of Grief. They were visiting with KPR's Kay McIntyre. You can hear a longer version of their conversation at kansaspublicradio.org. If you or someone you know is having suicidal thoughts or a mental health crisis, call or text 988 to talk to a trained crisis counselor. You can also connect with a suicide crisis counselor at 988lifeline.org. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse live in concert September 29th, a film with live orchestra, scratch DJ, and electronic musicians. Details at jccc.edu/mtc.
Stay tuned. Still another 10 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, up next we have news headlines and 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next is This American Life. It's 67 degrees in Lawrence, 73 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From Progressive Insurance, with its Name Your Price tool, a way to see coverage options based on a driver's budget. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. From Your Part-Time Controller, the nonprofit accounting specialists providing financial management services to support stronger nonprofits who make the world a better place. Learn more at yptc.com/NPR. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
Brat summer might be over, but at Morning Edition from NPR News, we're always here to help you understand the vibe of the season. Oh, and the news, too. Join us every weekday.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from Liberty Hall, offering first-run indie films, repertory screenings, concerts, karaoke, trivia, and more. Current listings and event schedule at libertyhall.net or the box office at the corner of 6th and Mass in downtown Lawrence.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, open year-round featuring nearly 10,000 animals. Admission supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife at home and around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org.
Stay with us. Classical music coming your way following the news headlines. And Stardate Destiny is your host. It's Magical Monday. Stay tuned. Also want to let you know about a new show we're getting ready to debut on KPR1 on Saturday, October 5th. It's called 105 Live with Nick Carswell, an hour of in-studio sessions, interviews, concert listings, and more, featuring new and notable music being created in all 105 counties in Kansas. From Allen to Wyandotte, 105 Live, beginning Saturday, October 5th at 5 p.m. on KPR1.
This news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The health ministry in Lebanon says Israeli airstrikes have killed nearly 500 people and wounded more than 1,000 others in a single day. It comes as Israel escalates its offensive against the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah. NPR's Ruth Sherlock has more.
As Israeli airstrikes hit targets in the south and east of the country and in the capital, Beirut, civilians fled in their thousands. Israel says it carried out 1,300 strikes against Hezbollah positions, including weapons stores, some of which the Israeli military says were in civilian areas. Hezbollah escalated its attacks on Israel. It fired missiles deeper into the country than it has in almost a year of conflict. Sirens sent civilians to shelters only 20 miles from Tel Aviv, and some hospitals in Israel have moved their patients to secure areas underground. The Lebanese government says it's opening up schools to house the displaced and has told hospitals in Lebanon to prepare for more wounded. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Tensions on the Georgia State Election Board are becoming public after the panel approved a controversial rule change ahead of the November election. From member station WABE, Sam Greenglass has more.
Supported by the board's three Republicans, the new rules include changes to the certification of election results and requiring a hand count of the number of ballots cast on election day. On Monday, Republican member Jan Johnston criticized anyone questioning her motivations.
Character assassination? Yes. Media murder? Yes. And lawfare lynching. And that's where this is all headed.
Some of the rules have been crafted with input from activists who have vocally called into question the integrity of the 2020 election without evidence. Democrats, election officials, and Georgia's Republican Secretary of State and Attorney General warned against the last-minute changes. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a statewide ban on plastic bags at store checkouts. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports it's the second plastic bag ban the state's adopted.
California became the first state in the nation to ban single-use plastic bags 10 years ago. And since then, multiple states have adopted similar legislation. But supporters of this bill say it's needed to eliminate the thicker plastic bags that stores introduced as reusable following the initial ban. State Senator Catherine Blakespear of San Diego authored this year's bill.
Plastic bag waste has doubled since the ban on single-use plastic bags because the plastic bags are double the thickness. We realize that this loophole needs to be closed.
The law blocks grocery and retail stores from offering plastic bags at checkout. It goes into effect in 2026. For NPR News, I'm Laura Fitzgerald in Sacramento.
Stocks closed modestly higher on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 61 points. The Nasdaq rose 25 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses from retailers to tradespeople. Progressive covers a variety of business needs with a range of coverages. More at progressivecommercial.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 23rd. Jupiter might have blinked for more than a century. A storm in its southern hemisphere might have winked out, with another eventually taking its place. Today's Great Red Spot. Scientists first reported a spot in Jupiter's southern hemisphere as early as 1632, and definitely by 1665. But there were no records of it from the early 1700s to the early 1800s. So there's been a debate about whether the spot disappeared or astronomers simply missed it. A recent study argues that the original spot vanished. Researchers combed through all the records of Jupiter they could find, including those by some of the most accomplished observers of the time, and there were no reports of a big dark spot. That suggests the original storm fizzled out and a new one fired up in the same location. The current version was first reported in 1831. Since then, it's changed dramatically. At first, it was an oval about three times as wide as Earth. Today, it's rounder and about the same size as Earth. The new study says the Great Red Spot probably sprang from the interplay of two powerful jet streams. Today, winds at its perimeter reach about 300 miles per hour, and they're getting faster as the spot shrinks, perhaps to once again blink out. Jupiter stands to the right of the moon as they climb into good view around midnight. It looks like a brilliant star. A small telescope will reveal the Great Red Spot. You can find more astronomy news in Stardate magazine. Subscription information at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from Audio Reader, an audio information service for anyone who has difficulty reading standard print. Grateful for the generous support of all volunteers and donors. More info at reader.ku.edu.
Thank you.
Magical Monday, KPR listeners. That was Mozart's Overture to the Magic Flute with Sir Neville Mariner conducting Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. A little magic for our Monday, I think. I am your host, Destiny. I hope you are having a good start to the week. Mondays can be a very special day for some of us. But it's the evening, so Monday is almost over, and I thought perhaps a little magic for your Monday would make the day really, really special. So I have some more magic at around 7:20. It's a very special magic pot. Yes. And I can't wait to tell you all about it. So stick around for another 7 minutes and then you will hear it. Right now, speaking of magic, we're getting a little mystical. We are going to listen to Neptune from Holst's The Planets. The mystic. Well, this will definitely get you in a very spiritual, possibly even spooky mood for the rest of your evening, but it's an appropriate addition to this program. A little divertisement, shall we say, from some Mozart into some mystic, and then we will be back with more magic. So let's enjoy it, The Planets, Neptune, right now on KPR with Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty mystical indeed here on KPR. The Planets, Neptune by Holst. That was with Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Perfect for this magical slash strange Monday. I have a really fun overture to end the hour. I opened with an overture, and then I'm going to end with an overture. And this one is about Rip Van Winkle. It's going to be in about 25 minutes. I think you'll like it. That music there at the end, it sort of feels like what a strange world we all live in. And you know, it has been said that sound bites and political ads determine elections. Speaking of strange worlds, on Kansas Public Radio, you hear more than sound bites. You hear my terrible jokes. You hear the background and context, thoughtful reporting, analysis, and insightful commentary. KPR provides the information you use to decide how to cast your ballot. Go to kansaspublicradio.org to pledge your support for the news that you depend on. And you can be a great supporter like the Kansas Book Festival. Yay, we love them. Saturday at Washburn University in Topeka, they are featuring author panels, live music, food trucks, exhibitor tents, and kids activities. Open to the public. Details at kansasbookfestival.com. All right, it is time for The Magic Pot by Respighi. This is actually a ballet, and unfortunately, the libretto doesn't exist, so we don't really know what The Magic Pot is all about. So we get to do one of those things where we use our great imagination here on Kansas Public Radio. This is with the Czechoslovakian Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy it. Respighi's The Magic Pot on KPR.
Thank you.
Respighi's The Magic Pot here on KPR with the Czechoslovakian Symphony Orchestra. Have you ever heard that before? I think it was pretty nice. I wish we knew what the exact story of the ballet had been back then, but you know, sometimes using our imagination is quite fun. Chadwick used his imagination for this Rip Van Winkle overture. Do you all know the story of Rip Van Winkle? Well, he had a little too much to drink and he went to sleep for a really, really long time. In fact, he must have gone to the Green Lady Lounge, one of our great supporters here on Classical Music, because they feature Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Perfect for Rip Van Winkle. Information is at greenladylounge.com. I'm just kidding. I don't think he had anything at the Green Lady Lounge, but I think he would enjoy it. So, as the story goes, he fell asleep for quite a long time and woke up. This particular composer here puts an American fusion of music into it, and he says that the calm introduction of this is similar to a pleasant valley where Rip Van Winkle lived, and then the fast tempo in this first theme that we'll hear is suggestive of Winkle's jolly nature. So some imaginative things for you to think about as we enjoy this together. Right now on KPR, this is Chadwick's Rip Van Winkle Overture with Nema Järvi conducting the Detroit Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Sedgwick's Rip Van Winkle Overture here on KPR with Nima Yerby and the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. I am your host, Destiny. Thanks for spending your Monday evening with me. I'm back tomorrow. Classics Live is up next on KPR.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Falden from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell those smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. And welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio, a weekly show where we travel the area concert venues to bring you a fresh program of excellent live and local classical music. This week, it's an all-Grieg recital with violinist Chiafe Lin and pianist Karen Savage. In a bit, we'll hear the third sonata. But here's the Sonata No. 1 in F major, Opus 8 by Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg. Thank you.
Thank you.
The first violin and piano sonata by 20-year-old Edvard Grieg, which has been called the work of a youth who has seen only the sunny side of life. With Grieg's first of three violin sonatas fresh in our minds, let's hear violinist Chiaofei Lin and pianist Karen Savage now play Grieg's third and last sonata. This one in C minor was written 22 years after the first. It seems dark and turbulent. Listen for the payoff, though, when, after going through some arguments and disagreements, the two parts unite for a thrilling finale with a great lyrical theme in C major. Edvard Grieg's third sonata now in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts here at Johnson County Community College. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the last chamber piece written by Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg in 1887. It was Grieg's third violin sonata, or shall we say, violin sonata number 3 in C minor, opus 45. But as you heard, the piano had an equal voice with the violin, so it was really a sonata he wrote for violin and piano. In this Ruhl Joyce recital, here at Johnson County Community College, we've heard pianist Karen Savage. After earning her master's and doctoral degrees in music from the Juilliard School, Karen and her husband Jeffrey came to the Midwest to join the faculty of the University of Missouri Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. Chiafei Lin has been playing violin in the Kansas City Symphony for 10 years now, even becoming acting concertmaster as the symphony regrouped and prepared for the retirement of music director Michael Stern. Thanks for joining us for this concert, recorded by KPR's field engineer, Chuck Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. from the Sunflower Music Festival 2022. Alex Klein and Rita Costanzi soloing in the middle movement of Joaquin Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio. And support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. And from the Lawrence Community Orchestra, presenting Voices of Women, performing Florence Price's Symphony No. 1 in E minor, Saturday evening, October 5th, at Plymouth Congregational Church. Information and tickets at lawrenceorchestra.org. From the University of Kansas, this is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute, also on kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A day of deadly airstrikes in Lebanon. The Lebanese health ministry says nearly 500 people were killed, most of them in the south, where the militant group Hezbollah has been trading attacks with Israel across the border since the war in Gaza began. Another 1,200 people were wounded. NPR's Jane Arap was in the south of Lebanon, where tens of thousands of residents are fleeing.
This is a divided highway turned into one lane moving away from the south of Lebanon. All of these people are fleeing airstrikes that have been going on all day. This was the biggest daily death toll from Israeli strikes here in years. And it follows a week after Israeli attacks in Beirut, exploding pagers, exploding walkie-talkies. People here are used to airstrikes in the south. They've been going on for almost a year since the war in Gaza started, with fighting between Hezbollah and Israel. But this is different. Jane Arath, NPR News, near Sidon, Lebanon.
In Colorado, the 25-year-old man who opened fire at a grocery store in Boulder in 2021 has been sentenced to life in prison. He was found guilty today of 55 felony counts. Member station KUNC, Emma Van Den Ende has more.
A jury found Ahmad Alyssa guilty of 10 counts of first-degree murder and 38 counts of attempted murder. Alyssa was diagnosed with schizophrenia and pleaded not guilty to all charges by reason of insanity. The jury started deliberations Friday. They concluded that the defendant was sane when he opened fire at a King Super supermarket, killing 10 people, including a responding police officer. Testimony in the trial lasted nearly 2 weeks. Court proceedings were delayed multiple times over questions about the defendant's mental state. First-degree murder carries a mandatory life sentence in Colorado. For NPR News, I'm Emma Vandenhende in Denver.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued a new advisory for Mpox, previously known as monkeypox. As NPR's Gabriela Emanuel reports, cases have been surging in parts of Africa.
The CDC has updated its advice on who should get the Mpox vaccine. It now includes people who anticipate sexual activity while abroad and are traveling to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and other affected countries. This recommendation applies to travelers regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. U.S. officials are particularly concerned about a new strain of Mpox that's been circulating in Africa and is more dangerous. That strain has not yet been found in the U.S. Gabriela Emanuel, NPR News.
Stocks added modestly to their recent gains, closing at or near record highs today. The Dow was up 61 points. The Nasdaq rose 25 points. The S&P 500 was up 16 points. You're listening to NPR.
Stardate September 21st. In many ways, fall has already arrived. The fall term has started for schools. Football season is underway, and September 1st marks the beginning of the fall weather season. Astronomical fall catches up to them tomorrow. Autumn officially arrives at 7:44 a.m. Central Daylight Time, the moment of the fall equinox. The change in seasons occurs as the sun crosses the equator from north to south. The sun rises due east and sets due west as seen from the entire planet. and the length of day and night are about equal. That balance won't last long. In the northern hemisphere, the days will grow shorter and the nights longer until we reach the winter solstice in December. As that happens, the sunrise and sunset points will slide southward. As the season changes, so do the stars. At nightfall, Arcturus, the brightest star of summer nights, is dropping lower in the west. The signature star pattern of the season, the summer triangle, is moving to the western side of the sky, and the Scorpion is getting ready to disappear in the southwest. In the meantime, the great square of Pegasus is in the east at nightfall, ready to climb high across the sky during the night. Constellations associated with the flying horse are moving into view as well, and so are the constellations of the celestial sea, water-related constellations like the fish, the sea goat, and the water boy, stellar sights for the longer nights of autumn. You can find out about McDonald Observatory visitor programs at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
We hope that you are enjoying the jazz on this public radio station. Thank you for your support.
Billy Taylor. Billy Taylor from the album Uptown, which is on the Riverside label. And we heard Soul Sisters. Before that, Izzy Rosen doing Geshem. I'm Tony Mowat. A pleasure to be with you, as always. Up next is a classic by Dizzy Gillespie, the Alumni All-Star Band. This is featuring John Faddis and James Moody. It's called Jessica's Day. We'll be right back.